I've said in my word that I inhabit your praises. But I want you to know that you inhabit my presence when you worship me. I long for these times of worship because it enables me to do a work in you that otherwise cannot be done. Worship opens an avenue into your heart on which I can begin to move and to pour out a great work in your life. Too many of my children have turned praise and worship into performance in their churches. It not only breaks my heart, but it angers me because they are taking that which is holy and casting it to the dogs. There are too many of my children who do not take praise and worship seriously. Some have the mindset of, I can't wait until all the singing is over and we can move on into the service. But you don't understand. It's not just singing. It is interaction with me, your Father, your God, your Savior. When you learn to take praise and worship seriously, you will be able to find in me much of what you've been seeking. Do not go through the motions. Enter in. Come into this place of great intimacy with me. Understand that I'm waiting for you, but I will not be a part of performance, whether that is on the platform or in the chair. I'll not be a part of that, because if I were, that means I would be honoring and respecting a heart that is nowhere near my throne. I weary of church worship teams that want to turn what they do into professionalism. Yes, you should do your best, but it should come from your heart, not your fleshly efforts. I would much rather have one person who has a heart for me lead a congregation in worship with no instruments than a platform full of skilled musicians and singers who are just singing Christian songs but performing like the world. True praise and worship is a lost art in much of my body. Too many churches want to become the absolute best, and they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to be the best. Do you not understand? You are the best when it is coming from your heart. I am longing for my children to come into my presence with hearts dedicated to me, willing to worship me. You may think you can't sing very well. You may think that you're never on pitch. But what you don't understand is that when you are in my presence and you are worshiping me, what comes out of you is perfect pitch. There's nothing amiss in that. I'm hearing the beauty of your heart being released in your love to me. And I say to you, true praise and worship is an active part of these latter days outpourings. The latter days revival. It is a vitally important part. So I encourage you, train yourself to open your heart and your mind to worship me. Worship me in true spiritual sincerity. And I promise you, I will move in your midst, says the Lord.
All right, so now it's going to be a bit different today. Good morning again. Let's just worship him. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Worship you. Jesus, who compares to you, Lord? Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you. How we love you, Lord. How we love you, Jesus. Pastor got up and he started saying some of the things that I want to say. But what I really was sensing from the Lord as I was preparing was just something completely different as far as what we're used to, but not as far as my life. To say I love worship is an understatement. And I know that anyone who has ever experienced worship, you know, knows I love worship. But, you know, that's not really the greatest way to say it. It's that I love loving God. I love it. Like, there's nothing. Nothing compares. Nothing. And he wants to be close like that to everyone. It's not because I lead worship. It's because I learned a long, long time ago just how to get close to him. That's it. I'm not special. In him we're everything. But it's just he taught me from a very young age how to get close to him. I have a book here. And in it are different songs that I wrote when I was a kid. And the it goes from about 1988 to 1996. In 1988, I was 11. And this is the first song I ever wrote to the Lord. He told me it's going to help me. Because this is just going to get stronger and stronger. But he told me he's going to help me handle it. Hallelujah. I just can't get over his goodness. Sometimes I'm just so overwhelmed by it. When I was 11 years old, okay, it's called You Are My God. Now picture an 11-year-old saying this. All right. It's very basic.
You are my God, I love you. Help me to listen to you and teach me what to do. I come to you today, asking for forgiveness, and I ask that you will make everything okay. And Lord, help me not to feel guilty of my sin, and thank you for being my God.
I wrote many songs over the years. I'm not going to sing every one of them, trust me. But the Lord gave me such specific instructions for today, and I'm just trying to follow them. And this first book, this red book, you see some teenage years where it's like, oh, Lord, please help me to live for you. I'm not doing right. Some I'm being double-minded. And yet every time I'd sit down and really seek him, he'd just give me more stuff. And I remember in February of 1996, I was 18, just before I turned 19. And the Lord really started ministering to me, saying, like, stop messing with the world. And my messing was so small compared to others, but it was like so, I was so convicted. Because I knew him. Like, when you're close to somebody and then you hurt their heart, you can do the smallest thing and it means more than somebody who doesn't know and does something big. It's like you don't understand. But when you're so close to somebody, it hits you harder. So that February, God began to speak to me about getting right and really not being double-minded anymore. At the same time, my dad, the Lord had instructed him to start a church up in Quebec, Canada. It's a French province. What had happened is he was going to a halfway house up there, and my dad was, anyone he walked by would basically get saved, and the whole place got born again, including the people who ran it. And he was praying about somebody to pastor. And God said, I want you to pastor. And he's like, but I'm not a pastor. He goes, just be obedient. You know, sometimes God will ask you to do something, even if it's not your primary call. And you just got to be obedient to that. So He began a church, and he asked me to lead worship. Well, at that time, I had a keyboard that's this big, and I could barely play and sing together at the same time. For real. I know it's hard to believe now because I like to jump and get going up here, but I could barely do the two at the same time. But I said yes because I knew it was in me. I was a psalmist, and I loved the Lord. And I began to let go of friends and things that were just, you know, distractions. And in August of 1996, I was at a Rodney Howard Brown meeting, actually. And I remember him standing up there going, I am nothing, but you are everything, Lord, you know, in his accent. And I remember going, that's what I want. I don't want to be known or want that. I just want Jesus to come through everything I do. And I remember standing there, and God ministered to me just in my seat. And I just remember weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping. I don't even know. We were like the last ones in there. Time was not even a thing. And when I was done, what I knew that I knew that I knew was that that was the point of no return to that double-minded life. Like, it was Jesus completely. And so I was really on fire for the Lord. And I went back home, and I started worshiping him in my room. And I'd go to my room, and I'd close the door, and I would put on some worship music and start reading my Bible. Just that's how I started. And suddenly the presence of God would come, and I would put my Bible down, and I'd just get on the floor. I just bow down, or sometimes I would just start dancing. twirling, and I don't know, I'm not a dancer, but I would just start dancing. I'd get on my knees. I'd begin to pray in the Spirit. I didn't even know what was going on. One of the things I love about Pastor Dave is he taught everything I was experiencing, and I was so appreciative of that. But I would just bow down, and sometimes I'd just stand there. Lord, I love you. And my mom says that she'd go by my room and she'd see like the shadows under the door because I was dancing or moving or shouting or whatever. And what the Lord showed me really was how much he delighted in me because I was delighting in him. And that delight just kept growing. And then one day he said, okay, I want you to worship me at church like you worship me at home. And I said, no. And I said, no, because it was too vulnerable. And it was too intimate. And honestly, he's doing something so amazing. So thank you, Lord. He's so good. He's so good. But he told me that if I would do that, many people would be blessed. Many people would be blessed. And I realize now that what he was teaching me in my room was, he was teaching me how to dance. And I don't mean like 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean like where he took the lead and I followed. That's it. And then he asked me to do that in the congregation. Which is why sometimes you shout and get all happy and jumpy. And why sometimes it's so intimate you feel like his breath on your face. Because he wants each of us to learn how to dance with him. So as I began to do that, I began to allow him to lead me in the congregation. The results were amazing. The whole congregation learned how to just flow with the Holy Ghost. And I, you know, he was training me, so I didn't always get it right. Last night, by the way, you were asking last night, I was sitting there looking at you at 25 after. 25 after 7. Because last night, he showed me it's about the word tonight. It's about the word. Which means don't linger. It's fine to worship, but don't linger. Because he wanted the word last night. Because he's the leader of the dance. It's not us. But see, when you're vulnerable like that, and you bring, okay, picture yourself. You're with the Lord, you're praying, and it's so intimate, and God begins to reveal stuff to you, and then he says, okay, now I want you to put that on display for all people to see. It was very fearful at first. Because there's a vulnerability you don't want to share. That's like sharing your marriage bed. It was hard. But see, I can't say to God, I love you, and I'm going to do anything you say. And at the very first time when he says, I want you to do this, say no. I mean, you can say no, but you can't stay there. Not really, not if he's your Lord. Well, what began to happen is the unity in the corporate worship was so intense. I've never experienced anything like that to this day. We're getting there, though. I know we are. It's like everyone was on the same page. We're just like doing, you know, I've never experienced anything like that since. The other thing that happened is we had revival in our city. Not thousands, but hundreds got saved. Filled with the Spirit, healed and delivered. Many people came to the Lord. And I know it's directly linked to worship. And it's amazing, your word this morning was just God confirming everything. Because like, they always ask me, what's the title? I don't know. I don't like coming up with titles. But if I could say anything, it'd probably be just loving God, you know. And so, thank you. How I love you, Lord. How I love you, Lord. One of the things God's going to start doing, and we've been talking about it this week, is the presence and the intimacy is going to be so strong, and it's important for the revival. And so, as I'm preparing for this, I'm thinking I'm going to teach some really great thing. This is great too. God, worship is great, but I mean, I thought it would be like a teaching, and I'm not going to cry in front of everyone because I don't like doing that. And which is crazy because I've been crying nonstop all week, but normally in the natural, I don't like crying in front of people. But he's just been so close, you know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you. Worthy are you, God. I praise you. I magnify you. Thank you, Lord. Where's that young man, Dylan, your son? Yeah, just stand up for a second. God's got a call in your life. And you know that, but you're not sure how it's going to look. It's a stirring that you're sensing inside of you. And he just wants you to know you're feeling something for a reason. It's because his hand is upon you. So keep your eyes on him, okay? Just keep pressing into him. Doing what adults do, which is praying a lot, spending a lot of time with him. And it's going to come to pass. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So as I was preparing for this, God's been showing me some revelation recently on the whole men and women, husband and wife, submission and authority and all that stuff. And I've had a hard time with that because I know there's something we're not getting. Why so many women have been put down for so long. And I know it's changed a lot. And honestly, if you're flowing with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to do that anyway. Because that's not God. To put down and beat women into submission. And I thought, oh good, Lord, I get to teach this. No. He's talking to me about fire and just showing me some amazing things about the burnt sacrifice and how Jesus was that complete burnt sacrifice. Nothing left undone. And I thought, oh, great. This one I'm going to teach on. Nope. There was a few other things. And I just kept hearing God say, I want you, similar to what he told me 25 years ago. I've been doing this since leading worship since 1996. That's close to 30 years. similar to what he said to me all those years ago. If you will just worship me in corporate like you worship me at home, many people are going to be blessed. They're going to enter in. Yes. And so as I'm talking with him about all this stuff, he was like, what I want you to do is I want you to share some of the songs and the things I've given you over the years. Because people need help to enter into private worship at home. Because corporate worship, what God wants to do, will not happen unless we're all at home worshiping privately. It just won't. And there are some things that God's been trying to do in this camp for a long time, and I'm not criticizing anything, but I'm saying that a lot of your spirits are trying to get you to do things, and your flesh and your mind say no in a corporate setting. Do you know that your spirit is working overtime, trying to get you to connect to God in a way that you haven't done before? You know, worship is when you take everything you're saying and everything he's speaking and you're just connecting your heart to him and you're just allowing him to lead you and just enjoy his presence and his company. There's a lot of traditions that keep people bound. Something that's new today is God told me he didn't want me to have any notes and just to trust him. So I'm waiting every once in a while because he shows me something, which is really wonderful when that happens. In saying that you need to worship and saying how important it is, saying that God showed me very young how close I was, just loving him wasn't enough to step into my call. I had to go through years of study, loving the word, mortification, you know, all the things we talk about, praying in the spirit. I would spend time with God and it'd be so intimate, and I'd come out and I'd see something in my flesh that I hated. And I was like, what am I going to do about this? And then I hear Pastor Dave like 25 years ago, mortification, you know, all that. And when you're a kid growing up in church, you're so used to the bubble of your parents' protection and always knowing Jesus. The second you start praying in the spirit and everything feels awful, you think Satan's attacking you. What is this? This has never happened before. It's just mortification. It's things you didn't even know that were in your flesh that have to go, otherwise you can't go forward. I loved the book of 1 John when I first got on fire for God. Couldn't get enough of it. And I just kept saying to him, Lord, if I love you, I'm going to do what you say. If I say I know you, then I have to do what you say. But then I tried to do what he said, and I was like, I can't do what you say. That's where mortification came in. And I almost don't want to say that to this group, because there's some things that really we need to come out of. But you need to know that just loving God or just zeal for him isn't enough to step into what he's asked you to do. You have to have the whole package. You have to love the word and know the word, and you have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And not because you're not saved if you don't, but because if you want your life to be an offering, I just want to be an offering. And you have to allow him to take those things off of you that hinder you from stepping into the fullness of who he is, what he's asked you to do. And so this was a little bit of an argument with the Lord to say, I don't want to share these songs with people, poems, because it's another level of vulnerability. And when I first began to worship in church like I worshiped at home, I mean, the opposition, you guys. Just because God asks you to do something doesn't mean there's not going to be opposition. In fact, it'll be more opposition. Because the enemy doesn't want you to actually step into obedience with God. And so he will send more opposition that's beyond just flesh. He will send opposition. So as I'm pouring out my heart, loving God, knowing that there's this intimacy, putting the intimacy out for everybody, I'd had a lot of people come say, you're doing this all wrong. Why are you singing it so long? Why are you worshiping? Well, like, why are you repeating the same line over and over again? And the tendency, because it's so intimate and vulnerable, is to pull back and say, okay, I won't do that anymore. But I wouldn't do that because he told me to do it. See, but the immaturity at the moment was, in the moment I was fine to say yes and do it. But then I'd go home and I'd be hurt. So in the anointing, I was fine. But then I'd go home and I'd be hurt. And now I don't care. So I'm not going to sing all these songs, okay? I'm going to sing one or two, and I'm just going to read them to you, some of the things the Lord gave me over the years, to let you know that God wants to be close to you like that, and to help you a little bit, just because he said so, right? Okay. Some of them are going to have some stories, because I feel like God wanted me to make sure and tell you where they came from. I remember the first one's called Take Me to the Limit. It's when I first got just on fire for God, you know, after 1996. I think this is a couple years later, 1 year later maybe. And I just would be in worship and I was, God, take me to the limit of what I can handle before I die, basically. My flesh can't, you know, take me to the very edge before my flesh can't handle your presence anymore. And it says, take me to the limit. I just want more. I just want more. just when I think I'm at my limit and I can do it on my own, which, by the way, has been something God has been dealing with me for a long time because I like to be strong, Holy Spirit comes and fills me and then changes my heart of stone. But from where I was to where I am, I know it's the work of no man. From where I am to where you are, oh Lord, I realize that I need you more. So take me to the limit. Take me to the limit. And then I just remember singing over and over again, I don't want to eat, I don't want to sleep, I don't want to breathe, I just want you. And I'd spend hours just on my face. There can be a place in God where you have food that's not food. That was one of the first ones. 1999, I got married, and 3 months later, I was pregnant. Doesn't that sound like a Christian couple?
Be fruitful.
Be fruitful. But I remember, suddenly, I had no time with Jesus. And I was missing him. But see, God knows when you have kids that you can't give the same time. And not only that, I was a mother, not a father. Fathers seem to be able to, not all of them, and Elaine was amazing, don't get me wrong. He was very involved with our kids. But as a mother, you feel like you can't just, like, good, I'm going to go here and do what I need to do and then come back. You are their caregiver. You are the one that meets their needs. And so I remember I was kind of mad. I was kind of ticked at the Lord, which is silly because, like, why? Not really ticked at the Lord, ticked at the circumstance, saying, God, I don't get time with you anymore. I'm used to, like, all day spending with you. But I knew what to do. I knew I had to start worshiping. So I remember Michaela was down having a nap. And listen, I love my girls. It's not that. I just miss God. I just miss being with him. And so I began to just sit down and I was just worshiping. God, I love you, I love you, I love you. God, I love you, I love you, I love you. Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you. How I love you, I love you, I love you. And I began to sing my words, and I would just say, Jesus, you know that I'm hurting. You know where I am. I just miss your presence, Lord. Oh, but you alone are God, you alone are God. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And as I just began to do that, not only was the worship just baptizing my emotions, but then I began to hear this song float up within me. It says, when I lost my song, you sang to me. And when I saw no end, you carried me. You won the war within. I could have stayed in the bitterness. I could have stayed annoyed and angry and chosen to have a shower during nap time instead of pressing to him. But when I went to him, he began to sing over me. And he delivered me from the sin of pushing away and rejecting him. And then he filled me with such hope and how big he was. He's not forgotten you.
When I lost my song,
Tell that when I was younger, I had a higher voice that was much more clear. As I've gotten older, I've dropped a lot of these songs. Sometimes I'd spend time with him and he'd just give me his heart for things. And this is called I Came to My Own. I came to my own and you would not believe me. I came to my own and you would not receive me. My heart is grieved, my heart is weeping. For you call yourselves mine, but look nothing like me. I will be honored. I will be believed. My people fall to your knees. You've given yourselves to every idol. You've given yourselves to your desires. You've left your first love, left my holy fire. But I'm calling you back. I'm calling you higher. We, your people, we humble ourselves and pray. We turn from our wicked ways and seek you once again. Lord, you will be honored. You will be believed. You will be honored. We now fall on our knees. Mighty God, rich in power, holy, righteous, faithful Father, bowing down, we seek your face. We honor you. Lord, have your way. There are times that I would just get into his face and I'd start worshiping. And it's like you can't see God's actual, you know, face. But it's like you feel his gaze. There's something about being close to him where you just sense like he's looking at you. And this song, it's called Deeper. And it says, I give my life to you. These aren't just words, I really do. I want my life to reflect you, so no matter what the cost, I live for you. And then it says, you are more precious than anything I own, more costly than the finest gold. And as I ponder every word of praise, I'm just left in awe of you as we stand here face to face. The glory of your vision pierces through me. The kindness in your smile, my Lord, is all I see. Your love is deeper than anyone knows. Holy, 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 Lord. One of the things that I think people have a hard time with is they're really uncomfortable with intimacy. And so if they're around intimacy, they make you feel guilty. And it's not because they're trying to be mean. It's because they're uncomfortable. Like when you're around people who are kissing and making out all the time. And they don't mean to be like that. But God just loves so much to be close to you. He loves it. And I remember one time in worship, I was just singing, "You are awesome, Lord, you are awesome, Lord, you are awesome." And I started singing, "Here I am again, Daddy, at the throne room of your heart. I stand and knock ever so gently, and as always you call me forth. So I run toward your throne, my Daddy. I am home. Into your arms I go. You hold me. You never let me go." And I just kept singing, "You are awesome, Lord." Another one's called All. It says, "All abandoned, all to you. All forever lost in you. All of me yours to own. Take my heart, make it your home." And as you worship, what's amazing is he just keeps enveloping your worship and your praise, and he knows your heart wants to be close to him. And then you're just overwhelmed, and I say, "What to do with such great love? How to express this real, real love? What depth is this my heart now knows? To you alone my all will go. Oh, I have tasted and I've seen that you are good. Take me now, fill me now, my precious Lord. Leaving all behind, I walk with you. All of me for all of you." When we were, a lot of that was from 2005 and sooner. There's a lot more. I was counting the other day because people ask me, I've done over 50 songs of congregational worship that the Lord has given me over the years. I stopped counting around 51. And then I have sheets like this, over 100. Again, I stopped counting. And so I think it's important that when you are spending time with the Lord and he starts sharing stuff, that you write it down. And I know that some of the things the Lord taught me was so that I could lead congregational worship. But that has nothing to do with the closeness that he wants to experience with you in your private time. You go into your prayer closet and you just love on him and you let him love you back. And that means that agendas have to go. That means that time is not important. And God will, he knows your life. So he knows there's time where you can't spend hours and hours. And he knows if you have a secular job, you can't spend all day. But he told me once, if you give me the time that you do have, I'll expand it. So when, you know, your kids are little, when my kids were little and I'm taking care of them and I'm like longing for God, but I couldn't because I was changing a diaper. He's like, "Give me the time you do have and I will make it like it was the whole day." So many people though, it's like we fight that. Recently he said, "Just keep coming back to me." So you start in the morning and you're spending time with him and I got to go to an appointment and then, oh, keep coming back to me. Get back into that time. When we were planning to move here, it was 2015. Can you believe this summer we'll be here 8 years? Isn't that crazy? My kids grew up. Becca, when we got here, she was in eighth grade. Michaela was in 10th. Michaela is married. Becca's finishing her third year of university now. I was just crazy. You know, I know that, listen, I love America, okay? I love America. And God did that work in my heart. Because I've always enjoyed visiting, but I never wanted to live here. But you know, when God asks you to move from your country and your home and everything, your family, do you know that means that your culture changes? That what you say and what you think doesn't matter anymore. It's completely new. So knowing moving here, that from now on, my line will not be Canadian. So imagine you moving to a different country, and from now on, your kids were not American. But here's the thing. Do you love them or not? Do you love your life unto the death? Do you? And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. Truly, there's a lot of hard times, a lot of prayer, okay? But we have to make the hard decisions if we want to move forward in God. You know, in Canada, there's no such thing as you owning a gun. So if you're a gun person, oh well. That right there will keep 80% of Americans out of Canada. 90 maybe, 90. I was corrected there. It's 90. It isn't about liking guns, not liking. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, could you say yes if you couldn't have your gun? Sometimes we think, oh, I'll do whatever you say, God. But there's no change that we're willing to make on a lower level, as if He's going to ask you to do anything on a higher level. So as I'm pondering all this, I start worshiping. Because that's the answer, by the way. Start worshiping and praying and seeking Him. I'm not going to sing it. And y'all probably know this one. It's called Whatever It Takes. Whatever it takes, I want to see your face. Whatever it means, I give you everything. Whatever it costs, Jesus, you're worth it all. I choose you again and again and again and again. This life you've given me, this perfect peace, this love compels me to give everything. Everything, all of me, no holding back. Everything, I'm on my knees, no holding back. Whatever it takes, I want to see your face. I'm wrapping up soon. I just feel like God's just shifting. So I'm skipping some things, but a song you gave me a few years ago here was called You. And it says, it's kind of a faster one. Lay down your life in my... I was going to sing it. I'm not going to. I've been crying too much. It's too hard. Lay down your life in my place. Ever holding me in your embrace, the greatest love story, your love for me. Unconditional, your love is free. Each line ever sung in a love song reminds me of you. It's all about you. And then it's like, I stand in awe of the love of my God. I stand in wonder of all that you are. It's all about you. I'm not sure if we did that with the team. Kathy, do you ever remember? Did we ever do that once? Yeah. It's kind of fast and funky. That's why I didn't want to do it right now. Maybe you guys will hear it. Maybe you'll hear it later. And this is the last one I'm going to share with you before we just go into something else a little bit. And it's called Consuming Fire. And I wrote this in 2019, and it was right after the First John series. And it says, I will love you, I will serve you, and I will worship only you. For you are my treasure, Lord. Take all the gray and wash it away. Take all my life, I'm crucified with Christ. Your truth, O God, is the rock I'm standing on. In the face of lies, I will make my stand with Christ. And all of these fires and all of these trials are worth the gold you're perfecting in me. And at the end it's like, my God, you are a consuming fire. Consuming fire, my Son, he wasted all the father's living. But when he finally came to himself, he said, I'm going to return to my father. And instead of making him a servant that just wasn't related to him, when the father saw him afar off, says he ran to him and he kissed him. He just kept kissing him. And the Lord says to you, he wants to kiss you and keep kissing you. That's your father. He is not rejecting you. He wants you to come. He wants you to come. He wants you to come. He is faithful. And we think that's just when you fall away. No. How much more the Son that is there? How much more you? Your Father wants to kiss you and keep kissing you and keep kissing you. He wants to sing over you. He wants you to enjoy him. But he's not going to make you. But he is longing for intimacy. He is longing for intimacy. Will you enter into it? Will you step into it today? I'm not going to pray, but we're just going to come and meet your Lord if you want to. Come and get on your face. Come and kneel at the altar. Because I know that's what he's doing. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We just long for you, Lord. We long for you, God. We long for you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus, we love you, God.
Shut up.
you. Oh yes, my people, I love you. My people, I love you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, dance with us. Lord, dance with us. Lord, you take the lead. Lord, you take the lead. Jesus.
Lord, we have met with you today. And we love you. And Lord, even now in this place, we dedicate our hearts and our lives to you afresh, Lord. And even if it was just a little bit more today, God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. We just sing this together as we get ready to go for lunch. Jesus. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. Everything, everything in us. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So now every time you're at home, start dancing with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Oh, God, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts and in our midst. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we will let you lead. Thank you, Lord, that you have taken us deeper, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for everything that has happened at this conference, Lord, and how each service is so important, Lord. And you're so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.